So our scripture today is from Mark chapter 4, starting on verse 26 through 34, and it's the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "The kingdom of God is if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise at night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, but he does not know how. The earth produces itself, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe at once, he goes in with the sickle because his harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds of earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in the shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. And so the first part of this is it's talking about growing in faith. And if you think about it, so how many farmers we have here? I know we have one. Is that Bill's the only farmer? Okay, couple farmers. And so it doesn't matter what Bill does. He can be the best farmer in the whole entire world. He can do everything exactly the way he's supposed to. But I don't know about here, but it rained hard at my house last night. Really hard for about an hour. And if it rains too much, those crops aren't going to grow. And if it doesn't rain enough, they're not going to grow. Now, we got plenty of heat yesterday, so I'm guessing they're growing like crazy. At Honey Creek, one of the guys would tell me it was so hot that the corn popped in the field last night. If there had been corn taller yesterday, I think it could have done that. It just wasn't tall enough. And so if you think about it, whatever that person does, he only has some amount of control over it. And so for us, the idea here is that we allow God to control us, and we let that faith and that trust in him move us and guide us and direct us, then there's a lot better chance for things to work out. And so whether it's ourselves to some degree or the crops and the stuff around us, we only have so much control of what goes on. So how many of you think you can really see crops grow? Okay, so if you just stand there and watch them, stare at them, you can see them grow. No. But the other day we were traveling someplace and I didn't even know for sure what was planted in the field, but now the corn's about that tall. But I didn't really see it happen because I went by, and then a few days later I went by, you could notice it. But you don't really see stuff grow. And there is where we walk in Yorktown, there's a big tree that somebody planted way too close to the sidewalk. And it amazes me how that tree root can just lift up that slab of concrete. Now, we walk there all the time, but it didn't happen overnight. But over time, that tree moved that slab aside of cement. And so God works in that same way in our lives. We don't always have something that happens instantaneously, but we have things that happen over time. And so in this first part of this scripture, he's talking about when, you know, once the harvest is done, the person's going to come in and he's going to harvest that crop. So for us, that's the patience to get through life, the hope, and at the end, there's going to be a judgment. God has a judgment for all of us, whether we've done what we were supposed to do or whether we didn't do what we were supposed to do, but we're going to be judged. Now, I tried to find a mustard seed, and we just don't have one at my house. And I know they're really, really tiny. And so I think they're about the size of a grain of rice. Does anybody know whether that's true or not? Smaller than a grain of rice. Okay, so that gives you an idea. So one of the things that I wanted to do, that is what a mustard tree looks like. Now you get an idea how big it is because you can see the gazelle or whatever that is standing under it. So gazelles, antelope, they're at least 4 or 5 feet tall. So that gives you an idea of how big that tree is. And so that little tiny mustard seed can grow that great big, they call it a bush, but it looks like a tree to me, can grow that great big tree. What we're being told in this scripture is faith can start out that small. It doesn't have to be this big event, this large thing that happens, but it starts out really small in each of us. So in that video where God sees in the Son what he really has in him, it could have just been that really small part. So a few things. Never become discouraged because what you hoped to happen didn't happen the way you wanted it to. Because sometimes we want things to happen the way we view them, and it's not the way that God had intended. Because we don't always know what God has intended for us. When Ann talked today about Christians and Jewish people and the whole community coming together to pray for a friend's father, it's important for us to understand that the church isn't just what happens here. And it's not what just happens in the United States, but it's what happens in God's whole world. And so close your eyes for a minute, no peeking. So when you think of God, what do you visualize? And when you think of Jesus, what does Jesus look like to you? Now, I'm not going to talk about God, but I am going to talk about different pictures of Jesus. When we were in the church, and I think it's the one in Nazareth, but it could have been the one in Jerusalem, I couldn't find it in our book, they invited all the countries of the world to send a picture of what Jesus looked like. The one from the United States is just silly. It's a metal sculpture. They shouldn't have let that guy do it. But the rest of them, however they sent it in, whether it was a painting, a sculpture, however they did it, they showed what Jesus Christ looked like to them. And I know this is going to come as a surprise to you, but if it was an Asian country area, he had Asian features. If it was Middle East, he was darker features. And so each of those countries view Jesus as they view themselves. It's what they see around them in their world. And I think that's a pretty accurate description because Jesus is to all of us. So he's not just, someone the other day said, he's not just a 6 foot, really fit, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy. He looks like whatever he looks the way we want to see him. So I talk to you guys a lot about reaching out to people to make them, you guys being the disciples, and make them a follower of Jesus. So right now, anytime I read something, 20% of the people in the United States say they have some faith belief, which means 80% don't. And that number is still going down. And so I am taking a class. If you want to join me, it's on Monday night. I'll send you the link. It's a Zoom class, and it's about being intentional in our discipleship towards people. And the book came yesterday. They didn't ask us to get a book when we started, but there was one that came up in the class. And so it came yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet. But whether you guys view yourselves as the teacher or the student, I would say we're really both. That sometimes we're telling people about our relationship with God, but sometimes we're listening to what people are telling us so that we can learn. So I think almost all of us are both the teacher and the learner. So for the teacher, it's important to remember that this is not about you. I think that's one of my problems with the people that you see on TV. So much of their message ends up being about them and not about the Lord. And so they don't have any self-discipline in that way. And I think you see that when historically, over time, we've had someone that raised a really large church, and then it turned into a dumpster fire because they took money, they did things that they weren't supposed to. They got to be where they were all important and the church wasn't. The teacher can't have a sense of, I know everything and you know nothing. Because the one thing that I've learned in taking my classes, and in those classes are anywhere from like 10 people to 20 some people, is that we all have different points of view on the same subject. And sometimes I would say, well, I don't really agree with that, but at least I understand how they got that. And sometimes when you listen to somebody, you'll go, I never thought of that way. That was a whole new learning for that text or that scripture or that thought about the Lord. We need to be understanding. Because sometimes we're trying to explain something and we think we're really clear. And the person looks at us and you know they don't have a clue what we're talking about. That was the worst thing about mask, just so you know. Because when you're talking to a group of people and you're trying to make a point and you can only see this much of them, you can't see that. So you don't know if, I just never knew if you guys were with me or not. Sometimes it's probably better off not to know. But you need to have understanding. And the good thing about being able to see the whole face is, if you're talking to somebody and you thought you explained something pretty well, but you can tell they don't have a clue what you're talking about, you've got another chance to say it in a different way. One of the things they were talking about this week in the class was everybody doesn't learn the same way. We all know that, right? And so today we added the video for the children's story. You guys always get to listen to me. And you know what? I really appreciate it because you know you could stand up and leave anytime you wanted to. There are not very many places in the world that people voluntarily come in to listen to someone talk for less than an hour. It won't be more than an hour and a half today. But people don't do that. Only in churches, really, do people willingly come in and let someone talk to them without an exchange of information about something that everybody has some knowledge in. And I'd never really thought about that before. It's really interesting. And so I need to be understanding. I need to have patience when I think I'm being very clear and people don't understand me. And you need to be kind. So that when you're explaining something and you hope it's clear and they don't get it, or they tell you, you know what, you're wrong, then you have to rethink and say, well, maybe I was wrong on that. Maybe I didn't understand that scripture the way I thought it meant. And so at some time in your lives, no matter where you think you're at in your growth as a disciple, you're going to be a teacher to somebody else. And so can you show all those displays to the people you're talking to? If you're talking to someone, they don't know the Lord at all, and you try to ram something down their throat, you're showing that sense of I know everything and you know nothing. And I would say in our country anyway, everybody knows something about the Lord. They might not know it accurately. They may know things that people have told them that are wrong, but they have some knowledge. Now, the second part of this is, so I hope you guys are the learners today, but I want you to know that I'm always learning stuff too. And so the whole idea of being a learner is, well, today Ed talked about, I can't remember what Ed talked about, what was it? So here's something that somebody told me one time, I've only done it a couple times, it's a little scary. When people go out, every once in a while, someone will say, I really like what you had to say today. For me, the question is, what did I say that touched you? Because sometimes people don't really know. Because they thought they needed to say something. So you can do that to encourage me anytime you want to. I just want you to let you know that sometimes I'm going to say what part meant something to you. Now, sometimes you're going to say something back to me that I'm going to probably not even have said in my message. And here's why. How many times in church, when the pastor is talking, I did this when I attended, how many times does the pastor talk and he or she says something and you think of something else that you've either read or something that happened in your life or a person, and you just think about that for a while? And then later on you come back and you go, oh, the pastor's talking still. And you come back. And I think that's God's Spirit working in our lives, because it reminded us of someone or something that we needed to be reminded of. But my point is, whether that was something I said, something that you guys exchanged between each other, something that you heard in the sermon that I didn't really say, the idea is to not forget that when you walk out the door. To remember that. It's interesting to me, especially now that we're a little more comfortable about being social, the way that people are interacting with each other. You have people coming to church that haven't been here very often or for a while, and they get to see each other and talk to each other. And how much you can feel that spirit of God working through those people. It's one thing to talk to someone over the phone, it's a Zoom. It is not the same as greeting somebody. And so whatever God's message that comes to you when you're here or anyplace else, as a learner, you're not to forget it. Now, the other thing is, so you don't have to tell me, but we all have somebody in our life that we like to be around because they challenge us. They will talk about things that we would not normally talk about. They will bring up subjects, although sometimes they're a little awkward, they're fun to talk about. You're challenged, you're inspired. And so I put that in as seek other teachers' company. I think one of the problems we have now, because we have 52 different TV and radio stations, but basically they're either right-leaned or left-leaned, there's not very much in the middle, that it's easy just to hit that button or turn that channel. You can tell I'm old because I said turn a channel and you don't even do that anymore. To watch something on TV or Netflix or whatever, and you could just keep seeing the same message over and over and over again. You do not have to hear different messages. Because there's 9 zillion Netflix, Hulu's, all that stuff. So you can just watch the same message over and over again. I don't know that you always learn that much when you do that. You can do the same thing with how God relates to you. I would encourage you to do stuff different. Deliver the messages in a different way. To find somebody that you read that you don't really care for, but you know you're going to get a different point of view. And then you have to decide if that's something that you enjoy or something you don't enjoy. Listen to something that you wouldn't normally listen to. But seek out whatever can stress you in a good way to find other things, to listen to different voices. Not every voice you want to listen to, but there are a lot of different people that have wonderful points of view, but we don't always give them a chance. So who was it that told me about Fido in here? I thought it was somebody here. So did I tell you what Fido means on a car? Okay. Fido means forget, it's for people that drive poorly. Fido, forget it, drive on. I would tell you the same thing if you're watching something and you go, gosh, that person is just way off beat. Forget it and drive on. Or if you read something and you're going, this person's just is totally off base here. again, forget it and drive on. And so, at least if you've read it or watched it or saw it, it gives you a chance to increase your own faith in the Lord. And so I showed that picture of the mustard tree seed, or the mustard, it says it's a bush, it's as big as any tree I've ever seen, to show you how small that can be and how big it can grow. No matter where you're at, whether you're that tiny mustard seed in faith, or you're at the top of that bush, we're all in there somewhere. And we're not all at the same place at the same time. So wherever your faith is in your life, just continue to work on it, to grow on it. Because we're all trying to get to the best relationship we can with the Lord. Some of us are over here, some of us are over there, some of us are in the middle. Sometimes we're over there, then we go back. Sometimes we're over here and we go really up. But we're all different. Do what it takes. Be around the people that can encourage you and challenge you. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can come and share your word, whether you express it through those who write the hymns we sing, the text we read, the message that is brought to you this day. Let us take that message of good news and hope out into your world. Amen.